do want to just say Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. What a blessing are moms in our lives. Amen. And I had to say goodbye to my mom right before Mother's Day last year. And I'll tell you, I really miss her. But I am so thankful to God that He gave me a mother who looked after me whenever I was young, whenever I was vulnerable. She taught me right from wrong. And yes, she even disciplined me whenever I needed it, and probably not as much as she should have. But praise God that she was there to correct me and to take care of me. You know, I remember those nights whenever I was really sick. And you know who stayed up with me? My mom. You know, I praise God for that. And whatever experiences that you had with your mom, just remember, you wouldn't be here without her. So praise God for her. However, hopefully, you know, maybe you're still able to have that relationship with her in your life. If you're not, you know, remember the good things. Be thankful to the one who created your mom, who is the Father. Amen. God the Father. And He has that nurturing heart that He put in every mother. And that's why she had that nurturing heart for you. And I know we all had a different experience, but I want to say thanks to all the moms just for being moms. And, you know, it looks different in other people, in all the wives. Some women were not ever able to have, you know, biological children. But I'll tell you what, they can be moms in other ways, not even just in adoptive ways. We look at how women take on a mothering role in a lot of different lives. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of kids out there today that just need a constant source of love and encouragement in their lives. And so don't be afraid to be that mom to others. And such an amazing gift that's there in moms. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray for all the moms, and then we're going to get into the Word. Dear Father, I just want to pray for all the moms and say thank You, Lord, for the gift of motherhood. And Lord, in these days that we live in, oftentimes it's not encouraged to our young girls that, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the highest callings. And Lord, so I pray that our young girls, our young ladies will aspire to be good moms someday. And Lord, that would be one of their greatest goals. A lot of times, the thought of having a great job or a lot of money is what people are shooting for in this day and age. But I'm going to say, at the end of all of this natural life, whenever I sat with my mom and she was drawing her last breath, I can't think of a person in this world that I had a greater amount of respect for or love for than my mom. And so I just want to praise You, Lord. I wasn't looking to her thinking, boy, You should have had a bigger career. I wasn't looking to her and thinking, man, I don't know why You didn't spend more time trying to make money. But what I was thinking when I looked at my mom in those fragile moments of her life was, thank You, Mom, for being there for me. And I want to praise You, Lord, for my mom. And I want to praise You for all the moms we have in the room and all the mothers to be. And I want to pray for them, that they will be the best mom that You will enable them to be by the power of the Holy Spirit to nurture the children for the next generation. And I know even for grandmas, it don't stop whenever your child just gets older and moves out of the house. I pray for the grandmothers that they will continue to build into those young ladies' lives and those grandchildren in ever how many generations that You give. Lord, make that one of our main aims and goals, is to glorify You by raising the next generation to love You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And we are blessed, and I just want you to know that Jesus deserves all our love. Can I get an amen to that? You know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. I want you to always keep that in mind. The love is His, and it belongs to Him, and as He gives it to us, may we pour it back out to Him. And this is such a beautiful story of the love being poured out on Christ. And then we're going to kind of contemplate at the end of this message today, verses 1 through 9, we're going to look at ways that we can show Jesus our love. And so I want you to be thinking about that as we go through this. But we're going to see this touching story and account of how this woman poured out her love on Christ. And it was very symbolic because He was getting ready to go to the cross. And so she was pouring out what she had to give for Him as an act of love. Let's all stand if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word today. We're going to read through this passage of 1 through 9, chapter 14 of Mark. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For if it had been sold for more, it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Let's pray. Dear God, at the end of my life, I pray that what I have done for you and through you and you through me will be that which people will remember, and that will carry on, that will be the legacy. Father, I thank you for showing us this beautiful thing that this woman did for Jesus. Help us to not only be inspired to pour out all we have for you, but also to learn about this kind of love so we can example it as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. I want you to remember love is also a verb. A lot of times we only think of love as being like a noun, something that we possess, something that's, that's in and of itself the thing that we really look at. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is probably a familiar area of Scripture to some of you, but let's look at this again. Love suffers long and is kind. That's a verb, isn't it? Love suffering long. That's patience. I can't think of a better way that gets described than to see, you know, my wife caring for the children oftentimes whenever they're fussy or they're struggling, for you moms that are out there, dads as well. But we're really going to just think on the moms today. We're going to honor the moms, you know, and just think about how they have just cared for these children sometimes whenever it can really be tough. Love doesn't envy, right? And that's kind of what this woman is she's exampling here in this account with Jesus. That's what real true love looks like. You know, the world wants to define love as being this physical attraction and romantic type thing only, which that can be included in love. But man, this is a description of love right here. It suffers long and is kind, doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So the noun, when put in action, we begin to see these kinds of fruit coming from it. It's really important for us to understand the word love is a verb. And so when we look at what this woman did in Mark chapter 14, I gotta ask, you know, what provokes this kind of love? I want you to understand a little something about this oil that she had. This was not a small thing that she offered, guys. It says that it was a flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Later on, one of the ones that's complaining about it talks about how much this oil would have cost. Did you guys catch that whenever we read through it the first time? We're going to look at it again, but how much was it worth? Can anybody tell me real quick? 300 denarii. Do you know how much a person made a normal laborer for one day's work? One denarius. 300, that was 300 days work. How many days are in a year? There's 365 days. You probably work somewhere approximately around 300 days in a year. It was a year's worth of wages to her. I want you to think about that for a minute. This was not a small thing that she was doing. She was pouring out her year's livelihood for this one act of kindness. And something else you notice about that, she didn't just carefully open it up so she could save the rest. We see, it says she broke the flask. She broke it and poured the whole thing out. She gave it all to Jesus. Man, that's love. In fact, John tells us a little bit more from his reflection of this. I love the fact that we have the four Gospels, amen? You know, and I love to see the different points of view, all true, not contradictory, but they help us better understand this account. And so John tells us that this woman is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You remember Lazarus, the one that Jesus called out of the tomb, raised from the dead? Martha, the one who said, "You make her get in here and work. She needs to work alongside of me. I'm doing all the work around here." We understand Martha. A lot of us can relate to her. Amen. But, you know, you remember Jesus said something about the way that Mary would sit at his feet. He said, she's receiving the better thing. She's doing this right now when she has a chance. I'm going to kind of add a little bit to it just for understanding's sake, you know, and paraphrase this a little bit. She's doing the better thing. And you know what? I think Mary was listening when he was speaking. And I think she understood that he was coming to the end of his life on earth. I think she understood that he was saying, "I'm getting ready to go to the cross." I think a lot of the disciples were so busy, they weren't listening. You remember, they were surprised when he raised from the dead. He had told them how many times he was going to die and on the third day rise. They had a hard time hearing and understanding, but Mary took the time to listen to him. And I think she listened and heard. And whenever it came time and he was coming through and he stopped and they all congregated at Simon the leper's house, we see she did what was proper for what he was about to face. She poured it all out for him. And she took that pound, it was a whole pound, of very costly oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So in Mark, it says his head as well. So what we're seeing here is like two eyewitness accounts that are being displayed for us to see. She basically anointed his whole body. And out of this great love, she spared no cost, a whole year's wages. For us today, you know, I don't know how much you make in a year, but put your price tag on it. You know? It's like take everything you were going to make in a year and give it to Jesus for this moment to honor him and show him that he's loved. You think maybe that kind of stuck with him whenever he was hanging on the cross and everybody was reviling him? You think that might have been a comfort to his soul? When everybody was screaming at him, "You say that you're God, you know, get yourself down off of there. Who are you?" And just scoffing at him. But he had that love that prepared him for that. How amazing that love. You know, Luke tells us of a similar occurrence. This is not the same instance. Now, I want you to understand this. This was a different time when someone else earlier in his ministry did something very similar. But we're going to learn something from this Luke account about what kind of love this is. So let's read just a little bit in this. So then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them. And he went to the Pharisee's house. This was a different location, different time. And he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Guys, this was a nice way of saying she was a prostitute, basically. Okay? And so she came to him. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Isn't that a beautiful similarity that's happening here? And he stood and stood at his feet, at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, as we kind of jump down a few verses for time's sake, we see that Jesus begins to explain the motive a little bit here. Because the Pharisee was really offended by this. And he says, if this dude was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him. And so he's really indignant, and I'm afraid sometimes the church can be a little bit like this if we're not careful. We got to remember now, we need to open the door that all might be able to show their love to Christ. Amen? And we can't be offended whenever somebody from a different background comes forward to show their love for Christ. But I want to see, what does Jesus have to say about this? In verse 44 through 48, he says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. I think that's interesting. He's looking at the woman while he's saying this. Simon was the important guy. You would have thought he would have put all of his attention on the important guy. You know, the Pharisee guy, the example of what good religion looks like. But instead, he looks to the woman. He says, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Next slide there. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. If you read those extra verses in between, you're going to find that he actually asked that Pharisee, if one was forgiven a lot and one was forgiven a little, which one do you think would love more? And even the Pharisee got it right, the one who was forgiven much. I'm going to tell you what prompts that kind of love is whenever we realize just how much Jesus has done for us and how much he's forgiven us. And I'm going to say it prompts the kind of love where you don't hold back and you just want to give him everything. You know, Jesus, a lot of times in the church, you know, we kind of get this mentality, he just wants 10%. He wants me to keep the 90%. And we kind of apply this tithe principle almost like it's some kind of a law that the 90% belongs to us, but I want you to understand, you wouldn't even be breathing in here today if it wasn't for God. He actually owns the 100%, and he can take it if he wants, but he don't. He wants you to willingly offer it back to him. That's the kind of God we serve. And I want you to know that all of your sins, all put together, is what caused Jesus to go to that cross. That's what caused me. Even just one of them would have caused him to have to die to pay for our sins, because he's the only one perfect. That's how much you've been forgiven. You think of that worst sin in your life that nobody else even knows about and you wouldn't want him to know. I want you to know Jesus felt it when he went to the cross. That's what he died for. That's how much he's forgiven. And even those sins that you've done, even after becoming a Christian, and you think, oh man, I was hoping I could totally get past all this. I want you to know Jesus even died for those. That's how much he's forgiven you. That's how much he wants your heart. That's why this kind of display of love is actually very appropriate. To him that's been forgiven much will love much. Now, what we got to understand, we can go back to the Mark chapter 14. We begin to see not everybody appreciated her display of love, did they? In fact, thieves and self-righteous people, they're not going to understand when they see this. They're not going to understand. And if you see somebody pouring out their love for Christ and it really almost kind of makes you feel uncomfortable, you might want to ask God why. You know, because we're still in the sanctification process. None of us in this room are perfect. Do I get an amen? God's still working on us. And so the way he works on us is he allows us to see a little bit of what's still in there sometimes. So when we see it, don't be ashamed and hide. Just go ahead and say, God, why am I feeling this way? I want to love you more. God has wonderful ways of doing that But you see, these guys took a little different course. And again, we learn by John's account that basically the band leader in this little rebellion, those who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? It was literally Judas the traitor. And the traitor, he was self-righteous. He thought he was righteous because of himself. And he was upset because he says, for this oil might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. He knew how much it was worth. You know why? Because in John it says he wanted to steal the money out of the money box. He wasn't worried about the poor. He was just worried about himself. And oftentimes, those who are just worried about themselves, they get kind of testy when they see somebody that's really pouring out their love for Jesus. We don't need to worry about them, amen? They criticized her sharply, but I'll tell you what, I don't see that woman apologizing. She continued to pour her love out on Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, in the end, what does it matter what they think of us? Or what Jesus thinks of us. It really matters what Jesus thinks of us, right? And I'm going to tell you, she poured the whole thing out. She broke the flask and she poured it, all of it out. 300 denarii, again, was like a year's wages. Whatever love we pour out on Jesus, guys, it's never wasted. Never wasted. Pour it all out. What does that look like in our lives? Guys, I'm going to tell you, whatever's the most important thing to you, if you're willing to give it fully to Him. And I'm just going to tell you, I came to a moment in my own life, and that became my family. I got really, you know, it was like I was giving everything to Christ, I felt like. I'm sure I'm still working on it, because He keeps showing me more. But then it came to my family, and it was just like, how do I give my whole family to Christ? And especially my children. Guys, just pour them out as a love offering. Say, Lord, You created them and You love me more than me. I want them to be Yours more than I want them to be mine. And I'm just going to tell you, at the end of the service today, we're going to take the opportunity to do that with little Emma. Just to dedicate her to the Lord. You know? And it doesn't guarantee that she's going to become a Christian later on in life, but I think that it's important that we be willing to give her to Jesus. Because whatever we give to Jesus, I can tell you, it's never wasted. And so this woman, she had this one precious thing, and she poured it all out. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus rewards her openly with this affirmation, this statement of affirmation. He said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. And then he went on to say that, assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as memorial to her. So I'm just going to stop. I'm going to kind of end this portion of the service with the thought, how are you showing your love for Jesus? It's not something you raise your hand and try to tell me, because it doesn't matter what I think. It isn't something that you necessarily need to tell anybody else, although you might share with the one close to you just so that you guys can maybe help each other and walking in that way. But what really matters is, how does Jesus feel about your offering? It could be the simplest little thing that another person wouldn't even understand, and it doesn't matter if they do, right? But how does Jesus feel about your offering? Is it an act of love? I'm going to tell you, I can't think of a better display of that as I can with the moms and their children today. I mean, it really is a beautiful act of love that we see there. It can be very thankless at times. How many times do your children turn around after you've done that thing for the 25th time or 250th time or whatever in helping them out? I don't know how many meals my wife has cooked. I can't even imagine. One time I tried to do the math, and it was like mind-boggling to me. And you know, how many times do the kids really turn around and say thank you? Not always. Sometimes it's a very selfless thing. I wonder how many socks she's matched up in her lifetime. You know, whenever you got that many people in one house, sometimes they all look the same. It can be a confusing matter. Even just underwear, you know. thank you. But you know something I thought about the other day? Even if we forgot to say thanks, it's like her love offering to Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Her just doing that each day, you just doing it each day, what you're doing in other people's lives, even when nobody else is saying thanks. You're doing it as a love offering to Jesus. Just remember, whatever you've done unto the least of these, even so you've done it unto him. So how are you showing your love for Jesus? And let's try to pour it all out. Don't hold back. Sometimes I'll carefully open the flask. That way I don't pour it all out all at once, because I may need some for later. I don't know, are you guys like that? I'm a true conservative. Let's be extravagant in our love for Jesus. Let's pour it all out. Amen? Let's have a time of invitation, and we're going to open the altars with this final song, and then after that I want to do our baby dedication. But let's pray first. Dear God, as we sing this song of invitation, I pray that if there's anything that anyone wants to bring up to the altar and surrender to you as an act of love, that, Lord, we would just open this time to them. For some, it may be their own heart and soul. Maybe they've just realized that today is the day they need to be saved and offer themselves. It may be that you're calling some of us to do some special ministry that we know about, but we just haven't really wanted to take that step and surrender everything. It may be our family. It may be our children. It may be that marriage. It may be, I don't know what it is. But Lord, whatever it is, let us know that whatever we pour out unto you will not be wasted. Maybe a special offering to some special ministry somewhere. I don't know. But let us surrender it to you today as an act of love. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Without you, we would be nothing.